Lord is everything. He's everything. He's everything to us. Amen. Let's just lift our hands. Let's continue to worship just for a moment. Keep worshiping. Thank you, Father. We receive, Father. You're everything. You're all I need, Jesus. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. He cares for us. We're never alone. Never alone. He's with us, in us, for us. Thank you, Father, that you're working in our behalf. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're leading me. You're guiding me. Thank you, Father. You're guiding us. Thank you for your presence. The peace that passes understanding. Thank you, Father. We receive, Father, whatever you need from Him, anything that you're believing for, Father, we receive it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It's an exciting time when we know that we can take our family and put them in that place called done. And we can stand on the Word of God. And as I was worshiping today, it just seemed like the Lord saying, continue to stand. Don't let go. But hold those people that you have been believing for in that place called done. Continue to thank me and worship me. So I've got labors that I'm thrusting forth. People that they'll listen to. You just go forth and love them. Alan talks about it all the time. Just love your family. You don't care about them. You know, sometimes even family members, you know, when we really turn them over to the Lord and we're interceding, we're believing for them, they may say terrible things to us, but it runs off us. It doesn't affect us because the love of God is so much more pure. And I notice that, you know, no matter what my family says or what they're doing, we love them. And we're believing that God is working mightily in their hearts, bringing them to that place. A full salvation in God. Amen. They're not born again. They're going to be with us in heaven forever. Glory to God. They don't have that choice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many are believing for your family? Amen. Amen. It's good news. See, we got something the world can't expect. We can expect our family to be in heaven with us for all eternity. If they're not born again, we can expect God to start working in their lives. We can have an expectancy. Hallelujah. When the devil says no, I say yes, because my Father has already said yes and amen. And I'm going to keep them there. Amen. We're going to hold them in that place where there's victory. If you're at the 8:30 service today, I suppose we could have an altar call now for all of us and say, Lord, you know, or we can go home and start our assignments. Amen. Hallelujah. If you missed the 8:30 today, it was really good. And week before, too, when Gary was talking about God's thoughts and God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. Hallelujah. And when the natural thoughts try to overtake the spiritual thoughts, we've got somewhere to go, and that's to the Word of God and to our Father, and to hold fast to the truths that He's already given us, because they are not going to fail. Impossible. That's the too good to be true, almost too good to be true news. Amen. Hallelujah. We got a Father that is faithful. He will never fail. No matter what the world around us, no matter what happens to us in life, sometimes it seems so tragic at the moment and our heart aches and our emotions are all in a stir. But when we turn to the Master, we were singing about it today, peace to that storm. He says, peace. That's an amazing thing to me. Peace, be still. It's a peace that passes our understanding, goes beyond what we can imagine in our natural mind, but in our spirit we can believe it. because we're born of Him. Sometimes when we stop looking outside and we look inside to where He dwells, to where He lives, to our spiritual man that's rising up and gives us that strength to always overcome, we're not going to fail. Hallelujah. We're not going to let discouragement defeat us. We're not going to let any of the attacks of the enemy defeat us. Amen. Because we know we have that authority. Anybody ever get real excited about the Word of God? You know, you're all excited. You're ready to go. I'm going home. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to pray. And you're on your way home. And it's just bubbling over in you. And you walk in the door. And somehow, I said, man, I just don't feel like reading my Bible or praying. I've got dirty dishes in the sink and the floor needs vacuumed. And I think the grass, like Dave says, I think the grass grew again while I was gone. But how many know we can walk, when you go into the driveway, the next time that comes, you see what's happening is your spirit man that's already hungry for the Word of God is crying out for God. It's getting so excited. Hey, we're going to the Word. We're going to prayer. We're going to get into God. We pull in the driveway. That's when we got to start taking our authority, amen? You can do it right then. Right then. Who told you you couldn't? Now listen, Mr. Devil, I know your tricks. You know, like Dave says, why would he change his tactics if they keep working? Sometimes people say, well, that person bothers me. They know how to push my buttons. It's not them. You know? It's not them. No person's our problem. Tim mentioned that this morning. We war against not flesh and blood, the principalities, the powers, rulers of darkness. The enemy has come to try to take something from us. He's trying to steal something from you. Said, well, how do you know that? Well, Jesus talked about it in the Word of God. Jesus mentioned it. And if Jesus mentioned it, I think He knows what He's talking about. How many think Jesus was ever tempted? You know, that's where some people, we get Jesus to the place He was also and operated as the Son of Man. That means we can operate just like Jesus operated, listening to the voice of our Father, hearing Him, and doing only what He says to do and what we see Him doing. I'm going to read Mark chapter 4 for a minute. I think we're going to get to some other scriptures, but I'm not going to make a promise. Okay? Hallelujah. We've been talking, I was talking last time about being sold out to God and giving ourselves over to Him. And we've been hearing messages of surrendering our will to Him, our desires to Him. And that has been found to be, even in my life, one of the most difficult things is that our will and our desires are truly surrendered to Him. Sometimes we think we can do God's will and do our own will too. Well, God, I can do that, you know. And I know I can make a lot of money while I'm doing that. You know, I can do this and do that, right? You know, I can have this and I can have that. I can have just a taste of this. But if He says no, then sometimes there's things that aren't sin, but He wants us to leave them out of our life. Because He's so much better. It's not a, you know, we call it a, you know, we kind of dying to our own things. But I mean, really, we're gaining something. We're gaining Him, who He is. What His desire is for your life and for the world. To what truly is going to fulfill us. We think, if I could just, you know, sometimes people think, I should say not all of us, but I mean, this church, we are doing those things. We are doing that message. But sometimes those thoughts come. You know, if I just get this one thing done, if I could just get out of debt, I'll serve God. See, the enemy is trying to stop us. If I could just get this one thing accomplished, I know I'll serve God. But if you'll begin to serve where you are, with the time that you do have, begin to seek Him with what you have now, then He will begin to change those things and you'll have more time. You said, well, where did it come from? I'm not sure exactly how He does that. But do you know, when you begin to seek Him, it seems like, you know, He can create more time if we're going to give it to Him. Man, I got an extra 15 minutes this week. I'm not sure where it came from. What happens a lot of times is the things that we think we must do drop off. Yeah, but you know, the enemy makes us feel like, and our emotions feel like, I have to do that now. That's my responsibility. And it may need to get done. There are things. He's not saying to ignore life, to ignore everything, but we have to get it in proper order, in proper perspective, where Jesus is first place. And sometimes when we think He's first place, and what we think is first place, and what He thinks is first place, may not be exactly the same. You know, sometimes I thought it was great. I was going to go, you know, to the conference in Ohio and see Pastor Jim and enjoy the conference and see God, see Dave and Gary ministering. We thought we'd have a little vacation and enjoy it. And that would have been great. It was good. It was okay. We made plans and everything. We got it all set up, saved a little money, you know. But our hearts, we just couldn't go. The Holy Spirit was saying, no, why don't you just draw back? Just stay with me. Spend some time together. Spend some time with your wife. Pray. Seek God. Be with me. And that's really the whole key, isn't it? Is to be with Him. When that becomes our first love, our greatest desire. All right. Mark 4, I was going to share this. I think I'm going to, but I'm just going to share from my heart today what He says, because it's important that we know that He is the answer. You know, we know it in our mind, and we say we believe Jesus is the answer to every problem. He's the answer. He is the answer. He has the answer. And He knows how to get the answer to us if we'll talk to Him, if we'll take enough time. Sometimes it doesn't take that long if we'll acknowledge Him. He said, acknowledge me in all thy ways. I'm going to begin to direct your steps. They are directed of Him. I'm being taught of Him. You know, we need to get our, as Tim was talking about, declarations of the Word of God. Why? Because our soul and the world around us is constantly trying to take us another direction. The enemy is trying to trick you, and he's good at it. But we're better because we can see His plans in advance. He said, I'll show you things to come. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, you know. Man, I didn't know why you wanted me to say that, Lord, but last week my air conditioner, you know, I'm just giving an example. Last week my air conditioner went out and now I got the money to pay for it. Wow, thank you, Lord. Because He showed you in advance. You thought you're saving it for something else, you know, your vacation or your other deal. But He says, no, I want you to save that for this. Oh, okay. He knew in advance. He provided in advance. He sees the need before it happens. But we have a part to play, don't we? We've got to walk with Him. We've still got to take the steps of obedience, the steps of seeking Him, the steps of saying, Father, I'm yours. Father, I surrender, not my will, but your will be done. Father, I know that you're in me. I know the enemy wants to steal what you have told me. And to try to stop my progress from going all the way into you as far as I possibly can to be able to see those miraculous things that you want to do in the earth. To see the lame walk, to watch the blind see, to see the deaf hear, Father. Yeah, I see some things. Some deaf ears open, some blind eyes see. But how many are looking forward to that day where it's happening every time, first time, all the time? Doesn't mean you don't lay hands. If He's saying lay hands on somebody. Hallelujah. He's healing people. He's doing it today. Right now, His presence is here. It's available. We're not waiting on it. He's here. He's working. And our job is to say, Father, thank You. You're working in me. You're working in my body. You're working on my finance, Lord, because I know You want to take care of me. You're my Father. You wouldn't leave me. Yeah, but my bank account isn't what I'm supposed to look at. I look to what You said, that You would supply all my need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Because the greater One lives in me, and I can do it. Yeah, but it doesn't look like it. I don't care what I see. I said, my Father provides for me. He takes me from where I am to where He wants me to go. He meets my every need, financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. In any relationship, He begins to set me free. Because I begin to know Him and He knows me. We walk together hand in hand and we're going to possess that promised land. I'm not going to stay the same. I'm going over. And I'm not going to lose. Because I know in whom I believed, and I am fully persuaded, Paul said, that which I've committed to Him, He's able to accomplish it. He's going to hold it to that day. Hallelujah. The day when we receive and stand before Him, and the souls of men are brought in, and they'll say, wow, thank You for standing for me. Can you see your family? You know, they're going to give you a great big kiss. Not because you went to the lake with them, not because you ran over to the family reunion, but because you took a little time and you stayed before the Father and you said, God, no! Devil, no! You're not going to have them! Hallelujah. There's good news in the gospel of Jesus. We have the best thing going. Hallelujah. It's the greatest. People say, well, if it's so great, how come? Well, sometimes people got to find out about it. When they start seeing changes, they start seeing you. When everything around you looks like it's falling apart and it doesn't bother you. Because you're at the peace that passes understanding and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why are you so happy? I got fired today. Glory to God. I got more time to pray. Hallelujah! Could be good news. Because one word from Him will change our life. I was so... Well, won't talk about that right now. Thank You, Lord. You know, He's just encouraging us today. I sense that. But more than that, He wants to impart that grace to press in even more. Because He is faithful, who promised. He said, if we'll endure. If we'll endure. Sometimes people endure for a while. How many ever endured for a while and then you kind of had to stop to get your breath and something happened, you know? You say, I don't know what happened. The whirlwind came and 3 weeks passed and I woke up. So what do we do? What do you do? You begin to cry out again. You don't give up. Say, Father, Your grace is sufficient for me. I will possess that land. I'm crossing that river. I'm going into my promised land. I'm not going to stop. He said, arise. Remember in Ephesians when Gary shared the verse that, you know, wake you sleepers. Wake, Lord, wake me up. I'm going to rise, possess my land. You know, that's what God even said to Joshua. You know, Joshua's praying, hey, it's great. You're praying, Joshua, but I want you to move. Let's go. Time to move into the promised land. Time to possess. He said, I've given it to you. Glory to God. He's given it to us. And we're going to possess it. We're going to see it. We're going to walk in it. I mean, if you were here this morning, I thought, boy, that's a good time. We could just go home right here and I'd be blessed. I mean, I'd just cry. And you just weep over the thing, how much our Father loves us. He said, I'm not giving up on you. I'm not quitting. Thank you for doing all you did. And you think, man, I don't know if I've, the enemy's telling you, you ain't done enough. You're not doing anything. Well, I mean, if you're not, then maybe you do need to make some adjustments. But, well, if we're not, we do. But most people here are at least taking attempts and are trying to pursue God. And if we'll keep praying in the Holy Ghost, He's going to purge everything from within us that's holding us back. Everything. If we'll endure. A place of endurance in Him. It's not about, we talk about running around and people, churches, you'll get involved, and we need to get involved in this church where we have prayer. If you're having trouble pressing in, come to the church where everybody's praying. It's kind of like, how many ever got one of them workout things at home? Ever buy one? Maybe a trampoline, or you bought something you lift, or you went and got all those weights, And then it sits out in the garage or on the back patio, or you move it over to the other, and then you moved it to your storage, and you thought, man, I got to use this thing. And you keep intending you're going to use that thing, but you don't. But then you went to the gym, and somehow every time you go to the gym, every time I go, I work out. Maybe you didn't work out as hard as you could, but you worked out. You did something, right? Hallelujah. Why? Because everybody around you was working out. Everybody around you influenced you to do something. At least lift some weights. At least do a little jogging. And if you're struggling in that, then it's good sometimes to have it's good a lot of times to have those people around you. They're praying. They're seeking God. They're worshiping. They're reading the Word of God. So it makes it simple. It makes it easy. And a presence is here that comes, that lingers in this building and stays. And you say, wow, they got the soft music already playing for you. You don't even have to turn it on. They've got somebody, already saying something. Say, oh yeah, that's right, Lord, thank you. And you begin to enter in. Take a little time and the peace begins to come back like never before. So yeah, oh yeah, Lord, that's right. Yeah, oh, I forgot about that, Lord. Thank you for reminding me. Or maybe it's the enemy. Come and bring all those thoughts. You just jot it down. Get those out of your mind. You're going to do them later. If you jot them down, what he's telling you, hey, mow the grass. Oh, I forgot. I got to change those filters in my ceiling. Yeah, change the filters. Yeah. Pretty soon you just say, Mr. Devil, I just thank you for my to-do list. I appreciate that. I'm seeking God right now to thank you for that. I'll get those done. And when you got a few minutes, now you got a whole list already set up. You can get more time to pray. Hallelujah. Why? Because before you're trying to think of them, but you're so nervous and so upset, and things were all chaotic around you, you couldn't even get the list. Couldn't remember it. Have you ever been there? Hallelujah. You don't have to raise your hand. I don't know why I'm talking about all this, but it's talking about being sold out to Him. The word that came, the first thing, being sold out to Him. How many ever start reading your Bible? And then what happens? You get a couple of yawns and pretty soon it seems like you want to fall asleep. But if you pick up a magazine, it just seems like nothing happened. I'm just going fine. Hey, man, look at this. Oh, I think I want to buy that. And you start marking things. And, and if it's the wife, she's got three things she wants you to buy for her. and the guy's thinking, oh man, I got to go overtime, but that's all right, no big deal, but when it comes to the Word of God, the enemy's coming to attack. And sometimes I say, no, I'll just stand up and walk around and read that Word. I don't seem like I'm understanding anything, brother. I read it four times and I don't have any understanding at all. It's working in you. Because His Word is full of power. It is God-breathed. That means part of God still lives within that Word. It's a living Word. So it's alive and active. Sharper than the two-edged sword. And it's going to divide asunder. So that you can discern what is of my spirit and of my soul. Hallelujah. And he's going to cut off those things that I don't need so that I can go forward into him to all that he promised. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to possess the land, folks. We're going to possess the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go. Mark 4, verse 14. It says, the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. And so is the kingdom of God. To the man, he should cast that seed into the ground. This word of God, which was sown into our heart. The Bible's saying the enemy comes. We're talking about immediately. He's not so much after your things. He could get your house, your car, take everything from you. But if you have God in his word and what he said, you can get all back real easy. Everybody says, real easy? Well, yes. Because God's word is truth. And what you see isn't as true as what he said. It's not near as true. I'm not saying it doesn't. See, that's all the enemy's got to work with. He's got your emotions and what you see, what we feel, right? What we touch, what we taste, what looks good. Like Gary used to say, get a new car, why? It's shiny, shiny. You know, he put shiny out in front of us, you know. We're like, and sometimes, you know, if they say if you have you want to catch the monkey, they'll have a little jar or jug they put up in the tree, you know, and they put something shiny in there. And for whatever reason, they'll make it just big enough where if the monkey makes a fist on that thing, he can't get his hand out, but he won't let go of the shiny. And so it's easy to destroy him. Sometimes the enemy comes and he wants to put shiny in front of us. You know, something precious to us, I should say. Something important to us. It could be a person. It could be a family member. Somebody you want to please all the time. You know, he's putting something that's important to you or to me in front of us. Why? Because he wants us to latch on to it. And sometimes in our flesh, we latch on to things. And then it feels good or it's something that makes us secure. You ever see the child? Well, what's that? Oh, that's his security blanket. He carries it around, doesn't he? And that's all right when you're 2 years old, right? It's good. You know, but how about when he's 15? You want him to be carrying a security blanket around, you know? But sometimes we do. When we're 40 and 50 and 60 and 100, you know, sometimes people have something that's security to them. And they don't want to let go. That's where we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender it to you. It may be a belief system or something that you believed. You know, when we come to God, it's got to be, Lord, I'm laying everything before you. I'm not going to hold on to anything. Letting go of all excuses. I'm letting go of all things, even the things that I think are right, that I believe right now, I'm presenting to you, Lord, because I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to spend time with you that the truth can come so that I can be fully free and truly know you in your fullness. So we want to let, sometimes we have to say, all right, Lord, because it's something that helps us feel, we feel a security to some things. We want to just hold on to it. You know, and the devil's trying to keep you right there where he can keep you controlled. You know, and ultimately, he comes what? To steal from you, to kill, destroy you. He wants to totally destroy you. But if we'll let go, we become free to walk with the Father in a place maybe, you know, we think is not security, but is really true security. No security in ourselves. No security in what we think is security. You know, I could have $1 million in the bank and that can't, I can't allow that to be my security. We says, well, you know, nothing had ever happened. People have gone broke overnight. You know, overnight. They said, well, oh, it just wouldn't happen. It would happen. It has happened. Because the things of this world are not what is secure. Our security comes from Him. He said, my word is a sure foundation. And we're to dig deep and to build it upon the rock of His sayings. What Jesus said. He said, if you love me, if you're going to be my disciple, then you're going to have to take up your cross. What's your cross? Putting me first place over everything else. In comparison to everything else, loving, Jesus is loving me first. Somebody says, well, that means I get up early in the morning and I seek the Lord and, you know, and then I go about do what I want. No. No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm first in everything. The Bible says we're bought with a price. You are not your own. I'm not my own. I don't get to do everything I want. I really wanted to go to Ohio and hear Pastor Dave and Tim and or Gary and, you know, have a little vacation, enjoy life, you know, go out to eat with some people that I know, and, you know, maybe drive down a couple hours, see my parents, you know, it's fun, you know, to me, you know, but I had more fun with him because he knows best. I said, man, well, what happened? Well, spent time with him, spent some time with my wife, spent some time with him. Developed that relationship with him. Got in the Word of God. Dig a little deeper. It was wonderful. You know, everybody says, well, what'd you feel? I didn't feel much of anything. I felt like I really wanted to go to Ohio. But his presence. But his presence comes. But at first, you know. But his presence comes as we take those, like Tim was talking about, the little steps of obedience. I remember Alan said something not too long ago. Sometimes the first thing we got to answer is when God says no. No. Don't buy that shiny thing right now. Yeah, but I want it. I know. He'll give you, you know, if we really seek him, and go after him, you know, you find that it doesn't mean so much to you. You know, when you finally lose it and the desire for it, you might just get it. You know, he's not opposed to you having a lot of things you want and desire in life. But he's still got to be first. You know, I said at the last, I think, well, I'm not going to do that. Hallelujah. You know, he's got to be first. He's got to be the one that we're after. And not so much in the fact that we're busy doing something, but that we're busy seeking him. That we're involved with him in worship and seeking him. I'm not saying, you know, there's things we can do. Everybody here can do something for God. And we should. But those things have to be birthed out of that relationship with him. If it's not, then are we really following him, or are we doing what makes us feel good? Well, you know, I just like teaching Sunday school, so that's what I'm going to do. I just teach. I'm a teacher, and I'm just going to teach Sunday school. Well, is the Lord leading you to teach Sunday school? I mean, seriously. You know, and God may, that may not even be their call in life, but they think it is. And they're faithful to it. But are they really a disciple of the Lord? The Bible says to be a disciple is a disciplined follower. That's someone that says, okay, Lord, I'm going to discipline myself to follow you. Doesn't mean they're not born again. Doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. Doesn't mean they don't love God. They may love God. But we're looking to follow Jesus. And they may be a good disciple of their church. They may be a good disciple of their pastor or somebody else that they follow. But are they a disciple of Jesus? We have to decide. I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. And sometimes we got people that are followers and they hang out with Jesus and a little bit and they follow him with the crowd. But then when something that they don't like is said, they run away. Well, I don't believe that way. But that's what Jesus said. See, it wasn't my idea to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how'd you get filled, brother? I read what Jesus said. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you so that you can then be my witness. What's a witness? Someone that knows and has seen what Jesus did and understands. You got in the Word of God and we can see what Jesus does. He heals the sick. He heals the blind. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then we have to get our mind renewed to what he said. It wasn't my idea. It was his. The Father said, Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So sickness comes, you can know it's God's will to heal me. Jesus healed them all. I don't know why I'm getting off on that, but sometimes we have to realize. And we're going to have to stand and take it to the place called done. And say, no, I know God wants me well. But at the same time, we have to be careful not to judge somebody that maybe they don't want to go into all of God. We're not to say, well, that's them. They don't want God. No. We're still to love them. We're still to care. Yeah, but they're not pressing in like, well, that's fine. That's a decision between them and God. And you can talk to them and share with them. Say, well, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, you may have to cut that friendship off, you know, just to where you're just casual. You know, you're not so intertwined. Jesus says we're not to get entangled with the world, with worldly ways, worldly affairs. But to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things that the Gentiles were seeking after are going to be added to us. When God adds, the Bible says he adds riches without sorrow. He adds other things without sorrow too. Like joy and peace that passes understanding. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that money can't buy. And a relationship with him is one of them. We want people to know about Jesus. We're to declare it. You know? But we're not to allow other things to take us from that. Him being first in our life. when He's first place, where our love for Him is in proper perspective compared to our love for our family, for our wife, for our children, for our own self also. You know, a lot of times people say, well, they just need, you know. Well, sometimes the problem is people got too much self-esteem. They love themselves. That's why we do what we do. We love ourselves. Well, they need a little more self-esteem. No, they need to humble themselves before the Lord and resist the things of the enemy. Because the devil works more than one way. He'll beat you down or he'll raise you up, try to make you feel so good. You know, look at me, I'm great. Oh, look what I've done. Hallelujah, look at my ministry even. Look at how much money I made this year. Hallelujah, isn't God great? Isn't God, look what God's doing. He's moving in my life. And you don't even know Him. We don't even know Him. Not saying that He won't do those things. But when He adds it, there's no sorrow. There's no pain. There's no emptiness. Because the true relationship with the Father that fills the longing of your heart begins to become so joyous. Y'all know a guy in Oklahoma City, and he has a business, and I always see him full of joy. He's just thrilled. You know, and God's given him ideas, and he fixes things and sells them, and I mean, just amazing. I was like, wow. You know, he just gets excited, you know, to give things to God. But he bases it out of that relationship with the Father. What God's telling him to do. And I was like, wow, that's awesome, brother. You know, sometimes they can't. Hey, can we count on you for $5,000? You know, he doesn't have any money. You know, so I don't have any money today. It's not about having the money. It's about knowing the Father. Before the week's out, he had the money. The Father gave him the idea. Gave him wisdom. You see, a lot of times we think it's in all that we can do ourselves. But no, it's if we know Him and we hear Him and His wisdom comes, He'll make you rich overnight too. He usually doesn't, but He can, because He's, the reason He's not is because He wants that fellowship. He has to know that our heart is true to Him. How many know? Abraham was tested, wasn't he? God tested him to bring His prize possession. His shiny thing or His prized possession was His son. And I know he must have battled within himself. You know, I mean, I don't even know if he told his wife we're going over there. I mean, he told the servant, but I don't know about telling his wife. You know, maybe he did, but it didn't start out that way. So don't get discouraged if your faith just isn't there right now. Sarah laughed when she first heard about it, and it wasn't the laugh of faith. It was a laugh of doubt and unbelief. But the Bible says she received strength to believe. And God's been strengthening us to believe and to receive, to exercise authority and to allow His plans to come to pass in each of our lives so that as it continues to build and each person is bringing their joint supplying, revival is coming to Tulsa and to the world. Hallelujah. Glory. Good news. He's working. He's working. You know, but Abraham's was his son. He had to come to the place where he believed, if I lay him down, even if I kill him, Lord, hallelujah, You'll raise him up. I believe You'll raise him up. So God stops him. He says, I've provided myself a lamb. Talking about his son. He said, I provided a lamb that's going to take your place, Abraham. Take your son. He provides a ram in a thicket. And they give the sacrifice at that time. Knowing. God knew. Abraham's heart was pure and true. When we release it, sometimes our dreams, our vision to the Father, He brings it back. Not just back, but He brings it back purified, holy, tried by fire. What is it talking about? When gold is put into a fire, what happens? The impurities rise to the top. They scrape it off. or any kind of metal, you know, until it's a shining light. It's you know, gold becomes actually crystal clear if you get it far enough. I believe we'll see that in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know if we'll see it all on this earth, but we can become those things to where we are that vessel of honor, fit for the Master's use. As he said, it's going to be, you know, we were reading that one prophecy this morning. It's like sunshine that comes through that window. Hallelujah. I mean, God's just so awesome. He knows how to use words way better than me. He's so awesome. And I was just, you know, even as we were hearing that this morning, I thought, wow. You know, wow. That God would even come down and talk to us. That I have the right, Lord, that you've privileged me to fellowship in a body like this with men of God that bring truth. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for what you're saying to me. That you're encouraging me, Lord. You're not letting me give up. If I hold fast, if I'll endure, I'm going to see it, Father. I see it now with the eye of faith, in my mind's eye, from my spirit. I see it happening. That's what we have to do. I see my miracle coming. I see the finances rolling in. I see my marriage being strengthened and strong. I see my family being saved. I see it, Father, with the eye of faith. Amen. And I know I'm going to walk into it because of the relationship that I have with you, and that you are faithful and true, and you'll never leave me. You're not going to forsake me. You cannot let me down, Father. I don't care what it looks like. They may be running around and trying to find sin, but I'm telling you, God is working on the inside. He's working within, and he's causing men to begin to open their eyes and see, that the blinders be lifted, that they be brought in and be free from that sin. Hallelujah. And into a place and a victory that only comes from him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Good news. Good news today. I don't think I'm going to get to all my scriptures here. So, is that all right? Amen. Hallelujah. How many know we are? You know, I was thinking about that because in the calling and the lost, we talk about the, you know, we'll have them here. You know, they're not going to need their wheelchair or their crutches or their water bottles anymore, right? We're going to have them here as trophies to the glory of God. And I said, yeah, we're going to have those people as trophies for God. See, it's not about all the things. I'm not saying we won't have the wheelchairs. And yeah, in a sense, that's a trophy to God. But what Paul said, you are my trophies. You that have come to know him. You that have partaken of him from the fruit from my tree. When they got born again, he said, I fathered you. You're my trophies of grace. Those people, that's our real trophy. That's the real trophy we're going to have for eternity. It's not a temporal thing. That's something that's going to be there forever. And we're dealing in the eternal. We're pressing further, way past what this world has to offer. You know, sometimes I don't get to spend as much time with my family as I would like. You know, because I'm so important, I should be there, right? You know, and I'm not saying that you're not important. I'm not saying that we're not. And that those things aren't important. He's not saying ignore it, but to put it in proper perspective. Because if I spend that time with my Father, I'm going to have all eternity with my family forever. My natural family and this family. And I think it's good. I believe in fellowship. We should fellowship with each other. But most of all, we need a fellowship with the Father. In His presence. Hallelujah. I'm just getting excited. I mean, they're adding another night, Sunday night, you know, till 11. And then Wednesday night after church, you can seek God. And Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Surely we can find one day, you know, that we can really get away to see the Father. To really seek after Him. Like Pastor Dave says, I just, You know, there's times when you can spend, you know, an hour or two with the Lord, and that's good. It's great. And it's wonderful. Amen? How many know that? You just enter in, and it's wonderful. Then there's times when you get to spend 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever, and it just seems like it's even more wonderful. Why? Because the more we pray, he says, the quieter our minds get, the quieter we become in our soul, and the real, true of who God really is in us begins to be so loud and so real. Even we can hear it. Hallelujah. You know, we begin to sense it and we know it. It's a knowing on the inside of us. And sometimes we get carried away with trying to hear, you know, we think God's going to speak somewhere out here. You know, but it's inside in our heart from the inward man. He said, my kingdom of God is in you. Not all around you. Everything outside out here is subject to change. Hallelujah. It's going to change, but it's going to change from the inside out. I'm going to change from the inside out. Those are the changes that God put in me. I was so blessed. You know, it used to be my oldest brother. He could really get me riled up. He just seemed like the devil knew how to use him to push my buttons, you know. It wasn't him. I got to remember that. It's not him. Seemed like it's him. But, you know, he couldn't push my buttons. Spent a little time with him. It's awesome, you know. Why? Because I know where he is. He's in that place called done. He's going to be with me in heaven for all eternity. That's the way it is, because I've settled it with the Father, with the Word of God that's true, that my Father will send laborers in to his life. It doesn't have to be me. It might be you. But I believe God's working, because his Word cannot fail. Continue to stand, and I'm going to prevail. I'm not going to let go, but I'm going to press on in till the enemy has to flee. Because we're going to let go of the shiny things. We're going to let go and let God come in. We're going to spend that time with him. Lift our hands and surrender and say, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. You have plans and things that you and I are going to do. I'm going to keep pressing in. I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to take the Word of God, continue to abound. I'm going to let your love come shining in with worship and praise. Give you all the glory. Hallelujah. How awesome. How wonderful. You're already doing that. You've already begun. You see, discipleship is the process of becoming his disciple. That disciplined follower. So we're still in process, and I think I'm going to be in process till Jesus comes, probably. Because we're constantly moving in, constantly pressing to the next place in him, constantly going up what we would call a step higher, but he calls normal life. Where it's natural for us. You know, we don't allow strife. We don't allow those things in our life. You know, the Bible says where envy and strife is every evil work. So he works to get you, what? To strive with someone. Proverbs says, I think it's Proverbs. Anyway, it says, only by pride comes contention. When we're willing to say, Lord, even if they were right, even if I was right and they were wrong, you know, the Bible says to hold our tongue before a quarrel breaks out. Anybody ever gone past where you're supposed to hold your tongue? No. Don't ask me how I know. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. Anyway, hallelujah. Glory to God. The enemy comes immediately. He's trying to steal. And that's why God says, meditate day and night. What that we may observe to do, Joshua said, to do all that he's commanded. Jesus says, dig deep on my sayings. Lay it upon the foundation, the rock of my sayings. Dig past the things that try to destroy you. Dig past religion, my own ideas, what I think or was taught was right. Or they said it was right anyway. You know, and I thought, well, I think that's right. Well, I thought it was right for some people to pray in tongues and some not. The Bible says, whosoever will, come, let him drink freely. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's go to John chapter 6 for a minute. Verse 63, we'll start there here in a second. You know, Jesus walked with his disciples, and apparently, you know, there was multitudes that even followed him, right? So he had more than just 12 disciples. How many know that? We saw in Matthew 10, he sent out the 70, didn't he? But John chapter 6, verse 63, says, it is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were following Jesus, and they were happy at what he was saying. But when he said something they didn't like, they left him. These disciples, and Jesus turns to the 12. He says, are you going to leave me too? Are you going to leave me too? Are you going to turn back when I say something you don't agree with, you don't like? But it's truth. Sometimes when we find the truth, you know, we might agree with it in our mind, but you know, and we think, well, I don't know. I'm not sure that's true. You know, we want to make sure. I'm not saying not to make sure it's true, but the Bereans in Acts 17 said they sought daily to see if these were true. They begin to search, and they're searching and saying, yes, what he's saying is true. Those that would become his disciple, those that would be his disciplined follower. Some of the people just followed after Jesus to get what they, you know, to get the bread. You know, he says, you're coming after me for this physical bread. But I've got the word of life. I've got bread of life that you need. They thought they needed these physical things. And sometimes, you know, we're to pursue after God for the truth of who he is. And the rest of those things just flow. The disciples got the physical things too. I'm sure they ate the bread and the fish when it was multiplied, right? They received of that also. And a lot of the people that followed him, they got their miracle. They received and partook of those things. But to know him, to walk with him, to understand how God operates. It's not just going to church every Sunday morning and getting your pin that I've been there faithfully for the last 10 years. Oh, I got my 10-year pin. Maybe you got your 20-year pin. You know, I'm glad that you're going to church, and we should. If you ask me, I want you to go to church. Hallelujah. To me, it's not really an option. I just go because that's what God wants me to do, because he sent me here. If God sent you here, then we try to go. If I could possibly be there, why? Because God's got something to say to me. If there's a service, I try to be there. God wants to speak to me. And if I can't get there, then I'm going to try to get online and hear, right, what God said. Or find some way of receiving that. Because I don't think God wasted his breath when he said, Doug, I want you to go here. I want you to go over there. And if he sent you over there, then do what they do. But if he sent you here, then you do what God's speaking to you. Hallelujah. God is speaking to us every service. And a lot of times what helps me is I try to pray for whoever's ministering. I just pray for every service. Lord, this morning get up, Lord, whoever speaks today. I thank you, Father, that I hear from you. I hear from you, Lord. I'm trusting you, Father, to speak to my heart. And we heard from God in the early service today. Hallelujah. It was wonderful. I was strengthened. My spirit was edified. My mind was at ease. I received more from what God's saying. Hallelujah. And then as I take what God says and I meditate on it and I think about it and I begin to do it, we got our assignment this morning. I know it was a suggestion, but it's a good assignment. It was a good suggestion, wasn't it? She says, man, I already started, you know. Couldn't wait to get home. I already started to make those things part of my life. Father, I want to be that sold out one. I want to be that disciple for you. I want to know you in all your fullness. I want the Holy Spirit to be my best friend. I want to walk with you, Father. I want to lay down my will. I want to lay down all my things that are important to me, Lord. Whatever it is. Because I know, Lord, that if necessary, you'll bring it back to me. If I need it, Father, I know I'll get it. I can lay it down, Lord. Lay down my ministry. Lay down my dream. Father, I choose to take your word and allow your word to be first place in my mind, in my heart. To allow what you said. And even if it's in fear and trembling, Lord, I'm going to do it. Have you ever had anything you maybe you're a little afraid to do, you know? In the natural, it looks scary, you know? Sometimes there's danger, but fear's not really real. The enemy likes to bring feelings and make us think it is. Tries to make us think you're going to fail. You can't make it. You can't do it. But we have to be willing to say, Father, even if I fail, I'm going to do it. But I know I won't because I know you're with me. Amen? Hallelujah. You're in me. You're for me. You're taking me from where I am to what you promised me. Hallelujah. But if we'll take his word and meditate, amen, let it become alive in us so that the enemy doesn't steal it. And we release those things that are dear to us to him. We'll let go of it. The things that give us security, you know. Yeah, but I've been this way all my life. I'm just shy and, you know, I don't know if I can change. I don't know if I can change. I'm just shy. And God said he wants me to preach and I don't know what to do. You can. He'll change you. It's going to come from the inside out, not from the outside in. You may have to take some steps of faith that scare your flesh, but your spirit will rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Why do we hang on to things? Because of security. You know, we think it's security. It feels okay because it's what we've always known. It's how we always were. Sometimes it's scary to let go. Maybe it's a job. God says, well, I want you to change jobs, you know. Oh, I don't know, Lord. That's a different field. I've never done that before. I don't even know if I'd know what I'm doing. God says, just take that step. Hallelujah. Take that step. Well, thank you, Father. Well, don't wait on me. We just reach out to Him. Let's just stand up for a minute. Hallelujah. Stretch our legs. We've been sitting for a little while. Let's just receive that grace to continue to press. Amen. To enter in, to be sold out to Him. Father, we fully surrender. We surrender all to You, Jesus, once again, Father. We want to be those vessels of honor, Lord. We want to be those that are willing to lay down everything to follow after You, Lord. To die 1,000 deaths to our own souls if necessary, Lord, if need be. We lay down the good things, Lord. We lay down the things that aren't so good. We release ourselves to You. We trust You, Father, to complete the work which You've begun in us. Thank You, Father, for that grace entering in.